Listen, put me in the parking lot, you know, with bears, and I'll go out there and play. It don't matter.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, fun show today. Zach Blackerby here with you in just a moment. We'll be joined by Luke Robinson with Locked On Bama. In fact, let's just go ahead and play that conversation.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back in to Locked On Bama. Luke Robinson, that's me. Jimmy Stein, well, that's usually him, but today we're going to actually do a crossover episode with my friend Zach Blackerby over at Locked On Auburn. Zach, how are you today, buddy?
I'm good, Luke. I am good. Man, I think this is kind of nice that we're putting this up on Thanksgiving. I know a lot of family, you know, kind of, you know, Auburn side and the Alabama side. So this is always kind of a fun holiday to talk about the Iron Bowl a few days away. We're going to show that it could be nice and civil and have a good, you know, have a good chat here.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think most Thanksgivings, a lot of folks would rather be with a Alabama or Auburn fan, whichever the opposite for them is, than be with some of their family members. So I think we can make this work.
I think so. Luke, what's kind of the vibe on the Alabama side of it? The Auburn side of it going into this, I think most fans aren't feeling too confident going into this matchup. I mean, Vegas setting the line at 25 or 26, depending on where you look. And we're recording this on Monday, so maybe it's shifted a little bit since then. We'll have to see. But what's the general feeling from the Crimson Tide fan base going into this Iron Bowl?
You know, it's so funny. I listened to y'all's podcast today, actually, the Monday podcast for the Tennessee game.
Who I was negative,
and
wasn't
I? Well, you know, it's kind of funny. You were a little negative, but some of your listeners that had tweeted in, they seemed a little bit more positive and upbeat. And I think general vibes from the Auburn message boards are more upbeat in terms of, hey, you know, we did what we had to do. And, I mean, we won, and no, the Alabama game is an uphill battle. But, you know, we show up, and, you know, you never know in the Iron Bowl. Remember 2002 is sort of the battle cry. And I think Alabama fans are kind of funny nationwide that I believe most fans believe Alabama fans are just, you know, they're just sitting in high cotton. They love what they're doing. Everything's perfect. And Jimmy and I laughed because we beat Kentucky 63-3. And all we could talk about for the first segment was how many things we did wrong in terms of Kentucky getting a couple of nice drives going on the first two possessions, the way people were treating Pete Golden on Twitter during those two possessions. And so it's the life of an Alabama fan to critique the smallest fault when really the big picture is Alabama is the best program in the country right now. So I think Alabama fans are feeling good, but at the same time, it's Auburn. And I can tell you this, as a guy growing up in Ellic City, I never take the Auburn game for granted. I remember being there in 2012 in Tuscaloosa up 42-0 at the half and looking at my brother and going, they can still come back.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen this year. And we could talk more about our predictions later in this crossover show. But Luke, I think an interesting aspect of this is like, okay, what needs to happen for Auburn to make this game competitive? I know at times, more so earlier in the season, I think Alabama's gotten better defensively over the course of the season. They've also faced worse offenses, but I think all in all, I think they've gotten significantly better on the defensive side of the football in the last 4 or 5 weeks. But what does Auburn do? What can Auburn do offensively to score points and to kind of keep up with this? I think Auburn's defense is going to do fine early. I think it's going to be similar to 2 years ago where, you know, it may be a 1 or 2 score game going into halftime. And then it's kind of the, you know, maybe late third quarter where you start to see, you know, can Auburn's offense keep up on the scoreboard, you know, just every single drive. So that's kind of what I'm anticipating. I think this game's going to look really, really similar to the 2018 Iron Bowl.
That's kind of what I think, too, except for the fact that I doubt Mac Jones is responsible for 6 touchdowns the way Tua was. I think this could be a big game for Najee Harris.
Yeah.
When I watched Auburn play Tennessee this past weekend, and Eric Gray is a very good running back, don't get me wrong, but, man, he was getting chunk yards all day long. He ended up rushing for close to 180, if not more, and I thought he looked great. Now, Najee is not a burner. A lot of Auburn fans may not even know this. Najee, this past week, his 42-yard touchdown run, that's the longest run of his career at Alabama. And he may go down as Alabama's all-time leading rusher. That's just, it's a weird statistic. His highest rush before this weekend, I think, was 36 yards.
He's had some long receptions, though, hasn't he?
He's never had as far as I know, he's never had one that was
longer than that.
40 yards. Yeah. He's just a, Najee's kind of a grinder, and he can make you miss in a phone booth, but he's not like a Dalvin Cook. You know, he hits a hole and he's gone. That's not Najee. And so Eric Gray may be more that kind of back. And so maybe that's conducive to Eric Gray having a big game versus Najee having a really big game, even though Najee had a great game in the Iron Bowl last year in the loss. But I think, and going back to your question about Auburn's keys to victory, I would say I would take a page out of Kentucky's playbook, which was at the very first of the game this Saturday. And I know, again, it sounds weird because Alabama won by 60. But at the very first, Kentucky just kept getting these third down conversions.
Yeah.
I mean, they would be in third and four, and then they'd get first down. They'd be in third and five and then get a first down. And all of a sudden you looked up and it's sort of like, hey, there's only 3 minutes left to go in the first quarter. Shouldn't we already be having 21 points on the board? And it didn't feel that way. And I don't think any Alabama fan ever worried that Kentucky was going to win that game. But it was exacerbated by the fact that we knew Kentucky can't pass it. Their quarterback's just not a passing quarterback. In fact, I'm not sure any quarterback they have on the roster is a passing quarterback. And they were missing several people. So we just wondered, hey, why can't we stop the run when we know run is all they can do?
Mm-hmm.
And but I think ball control would be huge for Auburn. Forget about trying to hit Anthony Schwartz deep a lot. I mean, I know Auburn fans want to see that happen, and it's happened the last couple of games.
Right.
But I would try that a couple of times this game, and the rest of the time hope for 3.5-4 yards in a cloud of dust and just ball control, keep Alabama's offense on the sideline, and hope for the best, hope that the offense ends up having a turnover.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Luke. I think the Auburn offense – it needs to go through Tank Bigsby on early downs, and you hope you get into third and short, third and three, third and two. Auburn's been pretty good at third down over the stretch, really post-Georgia, since their offense has picked up a little bit. But, yeah, I agree with you. You got to hope that Tank Bigsby's hip is better, and he's able to kind of be as close to 100% that he possibly can in the given situation. And then the passing game, to me, I mean, it's Seth Williams or bust if you're Auburn. I think he's going to be the only one that's consistently physical enough to kind of win those 50-50 balls. I think you kind of use Eli Stove a little bit as, you know, kind of Mr. Consistent. He's been at Auburn for forever. But one of those guys that, you know, every time he kind of gets a target, it ends up in a first down. He doesn't get a ton of targets, not as many as I think he should. But all in all, I think those are going to kind of be the two guys. And, you know, I like what you said about Schwartz. I think Auburn's finally figured out how to use him. But I just don't think that's how you're going to beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl. I think it's got to go through Seth and Eli, your possession type guys, and you just got to keep your defense off the field. You got to keep Mac Jones and this elite Alabama offense off the field for as much as possible. I think that's, you know, to use your phrase, I think that is, I think that's Auburn's key to victory on Saturday.
I don't think there's any doubt. Everybody, you're listening to a crossover episode between Locked On Bama and Locked On Auburn. We will be back here in just a minute. All right, buddy. Zach, thanks again for being with us on this crossover episode. Okay, so what do you see when you watch Alabama play? I mean, do you feel like this is one of Alabama's best teams over the last few years? Because I'm going to be honest, I think that it's a very good team, and there is talent everywhere. But a lot of it is unseasoned, despite the fact that Mac Jones has been there for a while and Najee Harris is doing his thing. The offensive line is certainly veteran, and Devontae Smith is great. But, you know, defensively, I guess, is where it comes into play for me. So many young guys on the defense, and it seems to show a lot, even though Alabama's only given up 3 points in the last two games.
Yeah, I mean, I see an Alabama defense, like I said. I think it's gotten better as the season goes on, and that's kind of what happens when you talk about young, talented, unproven guys. As far as this offense, to me, as you know, a guy that doesn't cover Alabama, but I watch the vast majority of their games until it gets really boring about halftime. But to me, it seems like the offense looks better with Mac Jones than it did with Tua. I mean, this guy is dealing. And Auburn saw Mac Jones, obviously, in the Iron Bowl last year. He had two big picks and ended up kind of turning the game, and Auburn was able to take advantage of it. But obviously, I think you're seeing a more improved passer, a more improved leader. I mean, going into the season, it's like, okay, this is Mac Jones' team. At least that's what it looks like to me. I think they all know that they are going to go as far as Mac Jones can take him. And, man, his arm has been incredible. And I know, you know, the Mac Jones doubters are going to say, well, of course, he's throwing to first-round talented guys all over the field. And while that's true, we've seen other guys in Alabama's offense be in a similar situation and not have the numbers that Mac has been able to have. I think he's been really, really solid. I'm excited to see, I think the strength of this Auburn defense is their secondary. I think Roger McCreary is really, really good. I think he has a chance to be an early day two corner whenever he decides to go into the NFL draft. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he guards Smith, how he guards some of these first-round talents. Can he bump and run with these elite pass catchers? I'm really looking forward to seeing it because he's been able to do it, against every other top SEC option so far this year. And obviously, it's going to be his biggest test. And then Nehemiah Pritchett on the other side, he's gotten better as the season goes on. I like him a little bit more off the line of scrimmage. I don't really know how you think the best way to defend these Alabama receivers is, Luke, if you want to jam them and run with them and kind of stay on their hip pocket, or if you want to kind of give them a little bit of space, 8 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, because Auburn kind of does both. I really like McCreary more as kind of, being physical. And that is my favorite matchup. That will be my favorite matchup on Saturday. I think the big thing, though, is going to be Alabama. Their offensive line will be the best offensive line that Auburn's faced all year. The defensive line for Auburn's been kind of hit or miss, so I think that has a potential to be a pretty rough mismatch, depending on how you look at that. All in all, I think it's going to be up to the front seven for Auburn to really stop Najee Harris. A lot of Auburn fans feel confident about stopping Mac Jones in the passing attack, but can you stop that while loading the box to stop Najee? I think that's going to be really, really tough to do.
That is going to be tough, and also I apologize to any listeners that have heard some very loud cars passing by as we're going here. I'm taking my three kids back to Ohio for Thanksgiving, and I'm in Georgia right now heading to the airport, and it seems like it's muffler optional day here in the state of Georgia.
That's funny. I will be in Ohio for Thanksgiving as well. Small world.
Really? Where are you going to be?
I will be in Columbus for part of it and Mansfield for part of it.
Man, that is crazy. First of all, this is apropos of nothing, but since it's a Thanksgiving podcast, I'll go there. My three children live in Columbus. They live actually in Lewis Center, Ohio. I've been there a gazillion times.
Yeah.
And then Mansfield, Ohio is actually pretty cool because they have a gigantic cast iron fountain. And the company, my family's company, that's what we do a lot of, is restore cast iron fountains like that. So if you're in downtown Mansfield and you see a big fountain, be sure and tell them, hey, y'all need to get this thing fixed, and you need to get it fixed by Robinson Iron right there in Alexander City.
Oh, that is awesome. I had no idea. Small world, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know a lot of these small towns. And again, this isn't the Cast Iron Fountain podcast, but I know a lot of these small towns all over the Midwest and Eastern Seaboard and in the South, because back in the day, before the internet and before the television, when everybody just sat around and were glued to electronics, all towns had a fountain as sort of their centerpiece. That was the gathering place. That was the thing. And there were two major companies in New York, J.L. Mott and J.W. Fisk, that made all these fountains. And my grandfather acquired all those patterns so we can repair a lot of them. And it's just a long-standing thing. But anyway, I want to go back to the Iron Bowl.
So okay, that's fine.
The Iron Bowl. Okay. It's just some interesting stuff there. I mean, it's weird how these things sort of 3 degrees of separation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's a real thing, man. It's a real thing. But, yeah, I mean, what do you think about my assessment, though, of kind of when Auburn's on defense, when Alabama has the football?
Yeah, okay. Look, I love Mac Jones, and I think he's playing really, really well. And he's the more traditional quarterback than Tua. There's no doubt about it. And Devontae Smith is quietly becoming the best receiver in Alabama history. He's got the most touchdowns in SEC history now for a career. He's going to obliterate that record, I assume, as he stays healthy for the rest of the year. And theoretically, he could come back another year. But I think one thing Alabama's missing, and we haven't, it hasn't bothered him yet, the absence of Jalen Waddle is a thing. It's a real live thing. And I just hope it doesn't come back to bite Alabama in this Iron Bowl or maybe in the SEC championship game, because that guy changed everything. And Slade Bolden, God bless him, is a good player. but he's not Jalen Waddle, and it's unfair to even put them in the same sentence right now. So,
right. Auburn fans know that firsthand. I mean, Jalen Waddle in the Iron Bowl last year was, unguardable. I mean, he was incredible in Jordan-Hare last year, absolutely unstoppable.
Yeah, he's a piece of work, man. He's going to be a great pro, I believe. But I love me some Seth Williams. I called him in the state basketball championships many moons ago.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic athlete. I think the key for Seth Williams is to keep his head in the game, keep him involved, because he has a tendency to sort of fall asleep or get disinterested if he's not the number one target, it seems like. But I guess, look, what I want to talk about with you is Bo Nix. I mean, what do you think about Bo Nix? I mean, it's funny because I keep hearing all these rumblings that people want Miles on out, and I get it. You know, if you're not growing, if you're not getting better, then people feel like you're getting worse. You don't really stay the same. But Gus kind of does stay the same. He wins 8 or 9 games every year and loses 4 or 5 games every year. That's kind of what he does.
Right.
And I understand that Auburn fans want more, kind of like Georgia fans did with Mark Richt and Kirby Smart. But I'm looking at next year for Auburn, 2021, and I'm thinking, man, you know, they have a lot of guys that are probably going to still return to school. Seth Williams probably gone. But how many of these other guys, given another free year of school, are going to turn that down to go be 5th, 6th round picks? I think some of them are going to come back. I think Auburn's going to be the most experienced team in the league next year, and they're going to go to Penn State team that's kind of washing out right now.
Yeah.
They've got Alabama and Georgia coming home. I think if Auburn doesn't fire Gus Malzahn this year, I feel like that team is a not even a dark horse candidate for a national championship, maybe a legit contender for a national championship. And it's going to be hard to get rid of him because I can't see how in the world, with an experienced quarterback and Tank Bigsby and a bunch of guys returning defensively, how Auburn will be bad next year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reality where they fire Gus this year. We can get into that in a second if you want. But as far as Bo Nix coming back, I think they've kind of set up this roster to peak next year. My issue with it is you're losing your linebackers. You're probably going to lose half of your defensive backfield, and you're losing a bunch of your defensive front. And then also, I think they're going to lose a ton of their wide receivers. I think Eli Stove is going to leave. I think Seth is going to leave.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of people that think Schwartz is going to leave. So I don't know if I fully agree with you on that. I think Auburn's going to be in a tricky situation. Now, I think the hope is Bo takes a big enough step to kind of carry some of these younger, talented wide receivers that they have kind of waiting in the wings. I mean, they're really, really happy with their freshman wide receiver class. Devion Capers, Kobe Hudson, two guys that I think are going to be really, really involved in this offense moving forward. And I think you're going to keep a lot of your offensive linemen. You're going to keep your running backs. You know, you mentioned Tank coming back. And so I think the offense is going to be fine. Defensively, though, I mean, losing K.J. Britt's going to be a big deal. You got Owen Papo coming back. Chandler Wooten opted out, so I think he's going to be that other linebacker. Zakobi McClain should sprint to the league as soon as this season is over, because I don't think his hype is ever going to be higher than he is now, unless he grows 2 inches, and I just don't think that's happening. So you need to ride this awesome season that he's been able to have as far as stats go. Then what happens with Roger McCreary? Does he choose to go? Because I think the NFL is going to want him as well. So I think they're going to be able to reload just fine. And I think I say this all the time, Luke, but it's like if you are playing against a desperate Gus Malzahn at Jordan-Hare Stadium, you are not going to win the football game. And so I think the hope is you're going to see a desperate Gus Malzahn later in the season next year, and maybe that kind of puts you in games that you probably shouldn't win. But when this guy's back is against the wall, man, I mean, you saw it after South Carolina, that terrible loss. It's the worst loss of his career. And he comes back and, you know, he does what he did in Oxford, and then he does what he did against LSU. And I know LSU stinks this year and Ole Miss stinks, but Auburn just never has really killed bad teams, teams that they, like, have no business being in close games. They find a way to be in close games. So I think the performance in those two games was admirable, especially when you look at Bo Nix. Those are the best two games of his career. And I think the reason he's going to keep his job is I think they lose the Iron Bowl on Saturday, and then all the boosters are going to want him gone. And then what happens? They play a ranked Texas A&M team at home. And so you're going to see desperate Gus Malzahn at home. And he doesn't lose those games, Luke. And so I think that's going to be enough to keep him around. You know, that's just kind of my thoughts on it.
You know what? That's also called Tommy Tuberville-itis, I think. A lot of times when he was desperate or when his back was against the wall, that's when he came out guns a-blazing. And when he played a bad Arkansas team at 11 o'clock in the morning, that's when things went into the toilet. It's sort of weird that two coaches are like that.
And Luke, you know, I'm sorry to cut you off, but like I want to say, like I think Gus Malzahn's a good football coach. I think you can make the argument that he is one of the best coaches that Auburn's ever had, and I don't think firing him is the option, or is the best option. I think when you look around at other guys that you would bring in, I'm like, I don't think the program takes a step forward. I think the unfortunate thing for Auburn is they found their best coach in program history the same time that Kirby Smart is at Georgia, Nick Saban is at Alabama, and then Ed Orgeron is doing things at LSU. We'll see if that continues, if the national championship was kind of something to expect moving forward with LSU or not. I don't know. But there's just so many things happening with Jimbo going to A&M. And so Auburn's recruiting the best it has ever had. I mean, you find a coach in Auburn's history that is consistently around 8, 9, or 10 in recruiting, and you just can't find it. It's just unfortunate with the timing. It's like they may be 8th in the country in recruiting classes every year, and then in the SEC, they're 5th or 6th every year. It's just the timing kind of stinks, but I think Auburn at this point needs to play the consistency card and just kind of, you know, wait out the Jimbo thing in A&M, wait out the Orgeron thing at LSU, and kind of hope that good things happen from it. That's my personal thought there.
No, I think that's a good one. Let's go ahead and take another break here, Zach. You're listening to a crossover episode between Locked On Bama and Locked On Auburn. All right, Zach, it's time. Let's do our predictions here.
All right. At the time of us recording, with the line in Vegas, is it still 25? Have you checked it lately?
It was 25 last I saw. Yeah, it started out about 23, which I thought was excruciatingly high. I mean, as an Alabama fan, I looked at that and went. I thought the line would be around 15. And so I was off by 8 points, which is a guy who has done plenty of gambling in his lifetime. It makes me go, wait a minute, something's up. I don't know what it is, but either I'm really screwed up here or Vegas just doesn't understand this rivalry.
Yeah. All right. It's shifted a little bit. It's 23.5 now. So,
okay.
I don't think that's enough. If I'm being honest with you. I think it's going to be close in the first half, and I think the dam's going to break, man. I think that's just kind of my take on it. So, gosh, I'm thinking like 42-17, something in that ballpark, which is around what Vegas is saying, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll go 42-17 Alabama.
It's interesting, too, because Auburn's the only team in the league that hasn't given up 30 points. Alabama's got an unbelievable record-breaking streak of games scoring 35 or more.
Uh-huh.
I mean, something's got to give here. And the other thing is, I was thinking last week that during watching the Kentucky game, when Alabama at first wasn't playing well, I was like, you know, this is going to hurt me so badly when next week Auburn's going to beat Alabama and it's going to be Auburn will lose to Tennessee and then beat Alabama, because they'll lose to Tennessee so that they're unranked, so that they can stop Alabama's streak against unranked opponents and all these other things. You know, you just run through these nightmare scenarios in your head when you're an Alabama and Auburn fan. That's just how we do. We are eternally pessimistic, it seems like, for our own teams. But I'm with you. I think Alabama's going to score. I'm going to say 45-20. I think that's going to be what the score will be, and I think that's, again, right at the spread, which is weird because I said it was going to – that's a high spread, but I still think it's high. I still do.
How do you think it unfolds, Luke? Do you think are you kind of a my mindset where it's close for a bit and then they move away, or do you think, you know, Alabama jumps out quickly and then Auburn kind of makes it a little bit close? How do you kind of predict the game flow on Saturday?
All right, I'm going to say, I would break it down like this by quarters. I would say Alabama and Auburn are tied at 7 in the first, and then I would say Alabama's leading 17-10 at the half, and then I'm like you. That's in the third quarter. Things get really shaky for Auburn. Steve Sarkisian, who has been the best assistant in the country, if you ask me, he makes plenty of good adjustments. Whoever Auburn has to leave open is who we start targeting, whether it's, you know, give Najee his – his yards, or whether it's Devontae getting open, or even John Metchie having another big game, or Jaleel Billingsley, who came out of nowhere against Kentucky and made some fantastic plays. Somebody like that's going to make a play, and I'm also going to go out on a limb and say Alabama scores either defensively on special teams, and that's what's probably going to break Auburn's back, and I think it ends up being 45-20.
Yeah, all right. So, I mean, we're kind of in the same vein here. We're on the same page, I think.
Yeah.
Man. For all the Auburn folks listening to you, man, what is the best way for them to catch up on all the Iron Bowl coverage from the Alabama perspective?
Just check us out at Locked On Bama. You can find us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at LSRobinson21. Jimmy Stein, who is my cohort, my co-host, he's a great Alabama guy, but he does a sports show down in Mobile, too. You can check him out at QB_country. He does a lot of work with some fantastic prospects from all over the country that come down and get quarterback coaching from some people that he works for, and he's involved with that. So it's really – he's a great follow sports guy.
Awesome, man. Well, hey,
how about you, buddy?
Yeah, you can listen to us every day at Locked On Auburn, wherever you get your podcast, and I'm on Twitter at Z Blackerby. Man, you have a very happy Thanksgiving. Have fun in Ohio, and we'll hopefully chat again soon, man.
All right, best to you and yours, Zach, and I hope that the game is just injury-free. Let's go that route.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, you have a good one, boss. We'll be back to wrap up the week tomorrow with a Ferg Friday, right here on Locked On Auburn.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.